Welcome, Denise.
Hi, Megan. Great to see you.
It's great to see you. I've been thinking about you all week. What does Denise think? What would Denise do?
Denise has been thinking about car doors and safes.
I have been thinking about that too. Yeah, let's start right there because I mean this is just technology, and right with the car door, with the safe, that's new technology that we needed ways to get into. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Let's back up for a second and talk about the fact that, let's talk about guns, shall we?
That sounds fun.
Okay. So what if there were a Second Amendment that covered things like cryptography and security? Then the discussion we'd be having right now would be quite a bit different. We'd still be having a discussion, but we'd know constitutionally, because there was an amendment that specifically addressed it, that things like cryptography and security were, although very dangerous and capable of wreaking havoc like guns, still something that we had decided was important to the American fabric of society. So we don't have that amendment, right? Guns are, like cryptography and security, available and specifically protected constitutionally. But cryptography and security may find some other constitutional havens, even though they don't have their own amendment. We've got the First Amendment that is the place where people go to find the right of privacy often in our freedom of speech and our freedom of association. We've got the Fourth Amendment that protects us from unreasonable searches and seizures. And I haven't seen this come up in the Apple versus FBI discussion much, but we have the 10th and 14th Amendments that preserves a lot of rights to the states to decide what sort of business models people can pursue and how businesses should be regulated. So we've got a lot constitutionally to talk about here. And I think this is a really interesting case, and I'm glad that Apple has decided to push back on the court order that they were challenged with. I don't know if you've seen, but they've hired Ted Olson on their legal team, who at 75 years old is still the legal powerhouse who won Bush versus Gore, who won the gay marriage case in California alongside David Boies. So they I think, are teeing this up for the long haul. And I wouldn't be surprised at all to see this case go up to, well, of course, the first place it will go from a district judge in California, a district magistrate judge is who has issued this order, will be up to the Ninth Circuit to challenge that order. And then from the Ninth Circuit, presumably to the Supreme Court.
So when you brought up safes, you know, there were legal precedents, presumably, on how and when people can open safes, correct? Is that?
Well, I mean, that's one of the first things that I would be looking at on both sides of this equation, whether I was on Ted Olson's legal team or the Justice Department, the FBI's legal team. I'd want to know what some of those precedents are, because and whether there's analogous technology there, because really, the iPhone in this case is functioning like a safe. It's functioning like a secure vault that Apple is saying, you know, if I were a responsible, let's say Apple makes this analogy. If I were a responsible safe manufacturer, I have developed a safe that will contain information securely. I have not kept keys because that would be counterproductive to the whole notion of having a safe. And I have not kept an ability to replicate keys because, again, if you're selling a safe, you're presuming that you're giving your customer, and your customer is presuming that the things they put in the safe will stay in the safe, unless, you know, I mean, there are various ways to crack safes but and blow them up. But let's leave that aside. Whether the manufacturer can be compelled to open the safe, I think, is pretty analogous to what's going on here. And you know, I don't know what the legal precedents are on safes. I think it would be worthwhile to go into and look at it, because that is how the phone is functioning here.
So many times in the discussions around this, you know, we end up in a place where we're saying, well, this is kind of like if you were to blank, blank, blank with a key and blank, blank, blank with a doormat or whatever. You know, we try and put it in this kind of, you know, frame it in like a comparison to the physical world, which has me wonder, does the law just in general, does the law see technology as different, like the rights around technology as being different from the rights around the physical world that we live in? What would you say there?
I would say no. I would say that the law constantly looks for analogies to things that it's already handled before and tries, even though sometimes the shoe doesn't fit very well,
right,
to put the shoe on that foot. And that's why this whole area of the law is so interesting. The analogies don't always fit perfectly. But here I know from the folks that we've had on This Week in Law, who are on the technology side and have brought me up to speed on how this works, that let's go back to guns for a second. In the case of a gun, we have a spectrum of guns that are available for sale, and some of them are terribly, terribly dangerous, and they're still legal and available for sale because we have decided as a society that we've balanced the issues, the personal safety, the community safety, the national security of guns. And we've decided we're still going to sell the things, even really, really dangerous semi-automatic ones that can wreak a whole lot of damage like we saw in San Bernardino and elsewhere. Those are still legal and available for sale. But we comfort ourselves by saying there's a whole range of weaponry that we've decided are not protected under the Second Amendment and we're not selling. You cannot go out and buy a jet with all of its armaments and fly that thing around. Okay, that's not part of your right to bear arms. However, in the case of cryptography and security, that continuum doesn't exist. You either make the thing that works or you don't. There's no middle ground. You either make the gun that fires or you make a toy, a pop gun. That's how I think these kinds of analogies will play out in this case. So are we going to allow Apple and other phone manufacturers to make and sell security that works, or are we not? That's the question that the courts are going to have to resolve.